Arcade Games Man played today 7-21-9-4-3 Aliens Arkanoid Revenge of Doha Assault Asteroids Asteroids Deluxe Battletoads Battlezone Big Buck Hunter 2006 Black Tiger Black Widow Blasteroids Blueprint Breakout Burger Timmy Carrier Airwing Castlevania Centipede Championship Sprint Congo Bongo Crazy Climber Cruisin' User Crystal Castles Die Hard Discs of Tron Donkey Kong 3 Donkey Kong Jr. Double Dragon 2. Dr. Mario Dragon's Lair Express Raider Fighters History Fire A-Trip Forgotten Worlds Frogger Galaga, Galaga 88 Gauntlet Ghouls, and Ghosts Grand Champion Gunfight, Haunted Castle Head-On Hill Climber Ikari 3 Johnny Nero Action Hero Jungle King Killer Instinct 2 King of Fighters 2002 King of Fighters 98 Couple Liberator Life Force Lunar Lander Mace The Dark Age Marble Madness Mario Bros. Marvel vs. Capcom 2 Metal Slug X Middle Command Moon Patrol Maze Pac-Man Mystic Marathon NFL Blitz 2000 Golden The Showtime Sports Station Night Striker Nightmare in the Dark Ninja Baseball Batman Open Ice Operation Gun Buster Old Run P47 Pac-Man Plus Play Choice to Pot of Gold Power Drive R-Type Raiden The X Rampage Rest on Revolution X Roadrunner Robotron Shinobi Sinistar Solar Fox Space Duel Special Criminal Investigation Speed Freak Spy Hunter Star Wars Cockpit Star Wars Return of the Jedi Stargate Street Fighter 3rd Strike Street Fighter 2 The New Challenges Street Fighter 2 Turbo Stunt Cycle Super Breakout Super Cobra Super Contra Super Mario Bros. Super Pac-Man Tailner Tekken 2 Tekken.
Yeah, there you go. Pink Floyd said it best, as they always do, man. Welcome to the machine. Hopefully things are good on man behind the machine. Sorry I haven't been around. I've been kind of crazy in my world here in the Michigander. You should mix up the Dr. Absolito, Mr. Roboto song. Dr. Absolito, Mr. Roboto.
Good doctor, Dr. Absolito.
Absolito, right? Or Absolito. Absolito. Dr. Absolito. That's what it is. It shall be man or Dr. Absolito. Fair enough.
Calling Detroit, Dr. Absolito. Let's see if he picks up.
Your call has been forwarded to voicemail. The person you're trying to reach is not available. At the
time. Internet call, remember this?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, Detroit. What's up, bro?
How are you?
Good. Remember we used to make internet calls back in the day? We'd be dumbfounded. Whoa, you can make a call on the internet. Hello? Absolito. So much for internet phone.
There we go.
Yeah.
That works.
I was just saying, do you remember back in the day when you could make a phone call on the internet?
No.
No? No, when they first came out. This was like, 10, 15 years ago. You could make a call from your computer.
Oh, yeah?
And we were so excited, we would just make phone calls. I remember calling my mom one time, and I'm like, I'm calling from my computer. And she's like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She said, you know what? Most amazing thing to me for technology was when it came to phone calls.
Yeah.
Everything's happened so fast.
Yeah, right. Well, good, man. I got a little time to talk. Life's been so busy. It's great.
Yeah, a little nutty.
I thought about you yesterday because my friend posted an Amiga image archive like all these images over the decades.
Oh,
it's
really?
Like this master archive.
Oh, okay.
And I got to send it to you. I thought it was really cool.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
Because you love Amiga. You talk about it. I remember you talking about it in the voicemail recently.
Oh,
and then,
yeah.
I still have to publish that episode. But,
I got to catch up on it, man. I got to still download Signal. I got to update it. It tells me to update it. I always forget to update it here. My phone's so jammed up every day, man. I got to get programs off my phone and get them updated, man. So I guess that's what happens when you get the Android. I have an Android. I don't have a top-notch phone. I set the Android stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, when I was talking a couple of weeks ago, I think it would have been interesting if they would have kept the Amiga going, you know? You know, it would have been cool. I think it would have been a great opportunity for people who do podcasting, you right. know? But, you know, Macintosh and Bill Gates came along and basically wiped out Commodore. Or whatever happened. Well, Commodore actually went to Europe, I think. I think they did really well over there. So.
Yeah, I was just mentioning this to my buddy who called from the Netherlands the other day. He's very famous with Commodore 64 music. He was one of the first in the 80s. Anyways, he was talking about, oh yeah, all these people listening to his stuff on YouTube. And I said, I still listen to it on the original hardware.
Yeah.
You know, and the floppy. And now with Raspberry Pi, it keeps it alive. Like there's, I would strongly recommend checking out Pymega. Okay. So Pymega is an operating system that it's basically the Amiga 1200 and up, and I emulated on the Raspberry Pi. I don't know if I've ever showed you photos of the desktop, but it has all the files, the games, the apps, the utilities, you know, Deluxe Paint, the video graphics engine, and then I could go in there. In the emulator, I could show you the drop-down menu, and I can emulate any version of Amiga throughout the years.
Oh,
and
really?
You could set the parameters, yeah.
Okay.
It's cool. Yeah, I mean, there are people that are keeping it alive.
Like I said, it's out there, but it's, I mean, Commodore around here, I mean, I can't even think of any Commodore that's being used nowadays. How many people have came up to her and told them that it was like they started it all, they'd be like, they wouldn't even know. They just, kids today don't know shit. I mean, they have no idea where it came from. You know?
No, they don't know.
Be like, all they know is Macintosh and PCs. You know?
Yeah.
And I think Bill Gates, that's where, I think he bought into the Commodore and wiped them out right off the bat. Whatever, whoever was. I mean, it's like, it's so funny because nobody wants a third thing going here, you know, ever. They always want one or two. You got a choice, either A or B. You know?
Yeah, and they basically, when Commodore got really big, and you probably heard in some of the interviews if you haven't, but I'll tell you, that basically all this money, all this, like, I think Warner Brothers were involved. Like, all this big money flooded in after they started selling the VIC-20 and the 64, like, sold millions of those computers.
Yeah.
And then what I heard from his son and others that people started whispering in Jack's ear, Jack Tramiel, and they basically steered that company differently, you know.
Yeah.
And then he left, and then the downfall happened.
Right.
You know,
right.
But January 11th, put on your calendar, Thursday, January 11th, I'll be hosting Bill Hurd, the engineer for the Commodore 128 and the TED.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's going to be a really cool event, so you could ask him questions. Yeah,
for sure.
So,
what time is that going to be at?
7:30 Eastern time.
Okay.
Toronto.
Yeah.
Time, and then we got David Bradley, who's always on with his. He's a longtime T-Pug member. He's got like a wall of pet computers.
Oh, okay.
So he's gonna be our guest in February, and then Chris Husselbeck, sorry if I'm not pronouncing it right.
Yeah.
He's a legendary composer, and then Jeroen Tel, who's from the Netherlands, Dutch, and he'll be our guest. And that's pretty much 2024 is filling up already.
Yeah, good, man. Glad to hear it, man. Yeah. And you were able to get to that conference, too, in Chicago, right?
Yeah, it was fun.
Make sure I get to that. Yeah, I got to make sure I got to get that in advance, so I make sure I take the time off. I think I was working a wedding that weekend or some shit.
You got to come down next time. It really is a great time.
Oh, like I said, I would love to. Like I said, one of these things is like you got to really let me know a couple months in advance so I can really plan it out, because it just gets, like, my entire summer next year is basically booked up every day. Because of the wedding stuff, so I pretty much a full schedule here.
So I'll put on your calendar, it's every year September 14th or so.
Yeah.
The weekend of September 14th.
All right, so I'll make sure. Let me make sure I block it out, because usually that's what I do. I have weddings, so September.
Yeah.
14th.
And I said, and you'll see people there with a lot of Amigas, and this guy had an Amiga 4000 tower, or 2000, I think. Anyways, we took a photo, me and this guy, Anthony.
Uh-huh.
He's from Guru Meditation. They're an Amiga podcast. Yeah. Anyways, we took a photo next to this beast, and this Amiga tower is like full metal chassis.
Oh, wow.
Like, they don't build...
I've never seen a tower before. I've seen... They usually were like in a, box or whatever. You sit the computer on top of.
Yeah.
That's usually how they work.
But you'll see. You come, bro. You come. I'm telling you, it's worth your drive. You will see all these Amiga models up and running and people doing video. And there are guys there now. I mean, I can't believe how big it is now. I mean, it's gotten so big, bro. Okay, so imagine one huge... Imagine the biggest wedding, like, banquet hall. Okay? Uh-huh. You got that in your head? I know you've done a lot of weddings. So this is two of them combined.
Oh, wow.
And it was shoulders to shoulder. The power supplies were blowing out because the center couldn't handle thousands of computers connected. So now we're looking for a new venue that's bigger. That's how big it is. Anyways, these guys came, and I thought of you. They have a business where they hook up their Amiga toaster and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And they allow you to take pictures and video. Anyways, those guys were there with their banner. And it's like people starting their own gigs with the retro stuff. Like, these guys are broadcasting. These guys are setting people up to have their cameos. Then these other guys have another table where they're selling old camcorders.
Uh-huh.
And I'm talking like full table full of old camcorders that you put on your shoulder and you shove the tape in.
Wow.
And then you should see all the young people looking at these camcorders.
Oh yeah.
They were buying them.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I mean what does that tell you? People are
Tape still works. We're doing a lot of analog sound now back at the studio. My buddy just brought in a bunch of analog sound equipment.
Oh yeah, like what kind of analog?
Just basically, when we say analog, it's just tape, analog tapes, video, and we're gonna be doing obviously records, if you want to call that analog. And we got speakers, just the old school 1970 speakers with the good sound, the good quality sound.
Are you doing it for editing purposes or what? Or live?
No. Just my buddy's just bringing some stuff in. He had it in his studio. He's taking it out of his studio, bringing it in. 2 hours. And I have to go forward with editing. I have to get into this AI thing, and start working on that a little bit. I mean I'm still doing the digital thing, obviously, but I mean with timing and everything like that, I'm trying to cut my time load down, because like I said, I just spent 20 hours on this video, basically doing the voiceovers and everything. But it's like I can tell, like, even when I'm watching the AI stuff, it's like it all just really sounds the same now,
right?
So I don't really want to do AI. It's like I'd rather just do it myself, because it's what I do is very, very touchy, so to speak, because you can't really. It's like when we tell our stories, basically, I have to tell this story pretty much spot on, because nobody else tells a story pretty much spot on, and it's like you really can't detour from the video itself, because it's gonna show up more. Like, okay, well, in this section over here, there was a bunch of fighting. And that's how these people were doing all this fighting, and this is the reason why. But I'm like, no, the reason why they were fighting is because you were firing upon them first, and they were defending themselves. So that's where it's like, my thing is like, now, in the media thing, what I do, where I can add AI and shit like that, where it's easier for me to do, absolutely. Weddings, absolutely. That's something.
Yeah, because you got all this footage. Like, how do you get through it? I think I asked you this question in the text, which is, how do you get through it without AI? Thousands of footage, hours and hours.
That's what it is, man. I just, that's racking my brain. And then that's basically what I've been doing, man, is studying footage and studying footage and studying footage. And like every time I come up with something new, it's like people grab up and start something with. I'm like, why would you even have that there? It's like I've been at events, I've done events and everything like that. So if there was anything on something like that, you have like mass studying the, you know, the media is the worst because the way they put things out there, it just agitates people. And that's what they do. Everybody's so triggered easily. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's so easier for the media to work on people because they're going to get triggered right away. Because they're either going to take one side or the other.
And you know what? Now, I see people posting their videos now, and the AI does the subtitles now.
Yeah.
It adds the words of the person talking. You know, I mean, isn't that funny?
Yeah.
I mean,
oh, yeah.
You know, why is it funny?
Yeah.
Just
it's to me, it's like even they mess up on the word sometimes too. It's like they go through it and they're like, they don't have one word instead of another. But people don't recognize it. They just don't. It's just like, and that's what's coming, you know. And then, like I said, it could be a very good thing, you know, for editors and stuff like that. But then again, it could be a very dangerous thing because it put things out there.
That thing I told you. Yes, I paused it. Anyways, you could do your own research, but these guys, their ad, they go, are you still editing videos yourself?
Yeah.
Like you're a Neanderthal.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. And you've got all this content, and people have content on their phones. You know what? Sometimes they don't care. Oh, if it messes up my word, it's the convenience thing.
Oh, you know? Well, yeah, it's, like I said, it's going to be... I mean, I can understand the convenience of it. I could definitely use it. Not to say that it's a tool. It's just like I said, I never be going to non-linear editing from tape. You know?
It's like I understand. I fully understand that the human tells a story, which is unique.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
I understand that, but what I'm saying is like, you know, I do some workhorse AI stuff, and I know that Spotify now is going to be, you know, taking your voice and putting it in another language. They already tested it out, so they're going to convert a lot. But I don't want my voice in particular to be cloned. I could use the AI in different languages, like you've heard, you know, and they're the workhorse. And 10 minutes or 15 minutes of audio that narrates itself, that's something that helps me because I don't have the time to do it.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. Well, and that's the whole thing. It's like what you're going to see is as these characters kind of fade into the dust, is they're going to still have their voices out there, and you won't even recognize them. I mean, literally, nowadays you can have people that are just gone. You can just basically, I mean, I don't know. You remember how they were talking about doing that James Dean movie without James Dean?
They did, yeah.
So that's kind of, I mean, that's where we're going to. I mean, they're going to keep these characters alive. And I still think a lot of them are AI. I really do. I think they've been arrested and, you know, done away with years ago.
I was going to ask you, what do you think about Beyonce bleaching herself white? Ariana Grande now. Oh, she woke up one day and she goes, I didn't think I could turn white. Okay, so it's not lost on me that it's a stunt, okay?
Yeah.
But, like, Michael Jackson turned white one day. I mean, what do you think? Beyonce, is she really that white?
I don't know, man. You know, I saw a little article on that. They were talking about lighting and shit.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No? Indians?
They're all a bunch of nut jobs, man. That's how I feel about them. They can do whatever they want because they're crazy, you know?
Yeah.
They've been bleaching their skin for years, I'm sure, just trying to be something they're not. I mean, I don't know, I just look at them like, it's like they had Dolly Parton there the other day. I was looking at her, and she just totally looks different, you know, just all the plastic surgery.
Holy
I get
cow.
It, you always want to look younger, but that's what they really force on you out there, is like, you gotta look younger, you gotta look younger. I'm like, just look yourself. I mean, Dolly Parton's a beautiful woman, you know.
Yeah, she's
Dolly Parton
yeah.
would be a beautiful woman. There's no reason why you can't get old. It's like, but they have this whole thing in their mind that, you know, and that's just the way it is, man. I'm just so glad I never got out there. I mean, I was out there for a minute, and I'm like, fuck Hollywood, I'm leaving. There's no way. A bunch of fucking mental patients.
You know what? When you hear the latest episode, you'll hear me say Detroit would.
Oh, yeah?
Detroit would, you know?
Yeah.
So, because we got to think about more local, you know, it's industries.
It's so much easier to do it in the Midwest. Yeah. I don't even know why, like I said, you know, I mean, it's weird because when Hollywood came out here, you know, they did their whole shtick. Like, oh, we're gonna, they did the same shit in Chicago and they bailed. I mean, it's, when I got there in the 90s, they were all there infiltrating Hollywood. Or Hollywood is infiltrating Chicago. I'm like, Chicago, just do it on its own. They don't need any Hollywood coming in and telling them they're Hollywood.
Yeah.
They did the exact same thing here in Detroit.
Yeah, that's why Hollywood did a lot of stuff in the 70s, like in the area of South California. Like, if you notice a lot of those sets and the local staging done in, like, L.A., like with Chips, you know, like I knew when I was watching Chips back in the day, like, this is not the Midwest.
Right.
You know, right. I mean, and they're going to Venice Beach and the, you know, the chicks with the rollerblades and the bikinis. You know, the weightlifters, and you're like, that doesn't look like around here.
Yeah.
You know, and they just exploited that area, and then they try to exploit other places, you know, depending, you know, but they pay, you know,
well,
but
like
then
I
they
said,
leave.
The whole thing is like, that was like a lot of reason why people left Hollywood is like everywhere you stand, you got to pay for something. Like here in Detroit, you can shoot an entire movie. You wouldn't even know you were shooting an entire movie. I mean, literally, if you had it like that type of kind of like medium budget thing where you could just go around the town and shoot the shit, people would never even notice, you know. When Hollywood came in, it made it more difficult because now all of a sudden, you know, they want to, or everybody wants their cut. Like the city wants their cut to set up. Like prior to Hollywood coming in, you could go in, you could probably just set up a whole scene in the city at night and nobody even bother you because they wouldn't even know what the hell's going on because it's so deserted.
And you know what I told you? Stable Diffusion video just got released this week.
Oh, yeah?
And now you could use type in words and it's going to make full-length videos.
Yeah.
We're going to really see a shift, man. Just like, even if this is like the beta version, small, like a small release, you're going to see in the next couple of years this stuff's going to be accelerated. And you'll just say, you know, create a Detroit scene or whatever with palm trees and a car and the two women and a guy standing in the street and the car goes, like, you could describe it. All of a sudden it's making a movie. Like, I know I asked you this, but does it kind of dump on you when you think about the past? Did you ever think this was possible to type in words?
It's quite amazing. I'm curious to see if, like, I've often fell into these reels where, like, they're from, like, the 1920s and shit.
Yeah.
And it seems like they reenact those, you know. It's like they'll say street scenes from, like, 1967 and shit like that. And I think those might be, like, AI because it's, like, you know, it's like, I don't know if they were able to capture those because there was really no time to film it. You know?
Well, aside from the deep fakes, I think the first advance that made this possible was about 2 years ago, where these researchers they found like the world's oldest film or something, and it was degraded, it was cut up,
right.
And they used AI to complete like how many frames in the middle or whatever. Now we're like, now it's making actual video, to where you could put out commercials or, you know, you know, you don't need these expenses.
They did it on purpose too. It's like when they did The Crow.
Yeah.
They had to finish the movie because the guy died.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of ironic, you know.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. You don't. No. You're not going to need in the future these actors. You know, to like, oh, you got to keep your physical appearance young, and it's like, that's why they get that goofy Irishman.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, I mean, I looked at that movie and I couldn't even watch that. Like, I was just like, first of all, you're trying to tell me a bunch of Italian guys that act Italian all the time. Every fucking movie they've ever been in since they've been fucking 20, they've been Italians, and now you're telling me they're Irishmen.
You know what? Can you please explain how and why in The Irishman Robert De Niro and Joe Pesci start talking Italian?
I have no idea, bro, because like I said, it's just,
that's wacky.
Yeah, they're just, like I said, they just want to drag these characters out, man, and just keep them running as far as they want to, man. I'm like, why? I'm like, just get new actors, man. You need to get new actors.
You know what?
I mean, at least get somebody who's Irish. Get, like, you know, what's his face? Ralph Fiennes or something.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like yeah, Donnie Wahlberg or somebody. Yeah.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah, come on, Sean Penn. Yeah, you know, come on.
Yeah. Somebody who's sort of kind of. All right, I mean, come on, man. I know, mean, that's why I love the Departed.
Because these guys are playing the part that basically he's supposed to be in his 40s. I already know these cats are in their 80s, close to 90 now. And once again, you're telling me, I mean, it's just like, it's almost like when you have white people play Native Americans. It's like, wait a minute, it don't work. Is there any you know, slap to the face is like having a bunch of Italian guys play a bunch of Irish guys that are older.
Well, do you know that, and they exposed this in The Sopranos of all places, that for years they used Sicilians and Italians to play Native Americans. Think about that for a second.
Yeah.
You know, they couldn't hire Native Americans, they had to hire Italians.
Exactly.
And they put a headdress on them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But there's an interesting interview with Quentin Tarantino with, right. I forgot who, doesn't matter. Anyways, I think it might have been Howard Stern, right? Not very reputable, but anyways, nonetheless, Quentin Tarantino talks about how most studios have a list. They have a list of actors they use, okay?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And now when he gets his film made, he uses his list. But basically, like when you say hire actors, why? They already have their list.
That's it. Yeah.
And it's hard to get on there.
Yeah, there's no way. That's why you never see anything ever different. And people, that's what they want.
they want.
That's why you have the same old radio, you have the same old movies, you have the same old bullshit, the same old Marvel movies coming out. Nobody just stops going to the movies and said, I'm over it, man. It's just like, this is silly. I mean, it's like, they just thrive for the same. I mean, dude, remember in the 70s, like, if you can, there really wasn't any sequels until like Jaws became a sequel. Jaws was the first like real sequel. Raiders of the Lost Ark, and then you had Star Wars.
Yeah, Back to the Future. Yeah,
trilogies. Right, but you never had sequels ever. You know, it was just like one of those things. It was like the movie's over, it's done. Fantastic thing coming. That's why I like Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. Even though I think they did a sequel to Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid too, I think I seen it. I was like, I ended up walking out. But yeah, that was it. It was just like, but we live in a society now. We always want that sequel, and they can only the Hollywood mindset is basically like, that's what they're looking into. They don't care about the first one. They're like, oh, it's a loss. Cares.
That's why I thought it was brilliant when George Lucas repackaged Star Wars and called it A New Hope. Do you remember this? Do you remember this?
Yeah.
They're like, we're going to repackage. It's called A New Hope. It's basically Star Wars with a bunch of stuff collaged into it.
Yeah.
He put in some CGI, a little stuffed robots walking across, or Jawas, or him, you know, Han Solo walking over the tail, because they missed the they didn't film it. And back then, they didn't have the CGI, so he canned the film. He canned the footage and said, we'll come back at a later time. You know. And then he repackaged it and released it as a new film.
Yeah.
You know, so it's A New Hope.
Right.
You know, I mean, that was kind of brilliant on his part. But who would have ever imagined that it would go from CGI to, like, completely different worlds of artificially intelligent computers generating all these on the screen.
Yeah. I mean, now it's just, I mean, I don't know. To me, it's like Hollywood now is so much easier because of the AI. They could totally make it work for them. You know, they don't need to do all the big sets anymore and all the stuff. I mean, I don't even understand why there's really that many more credits anymore, because literally half the jobs have been taken because of AI and technology and where we're at.
Jeffrey Katzenberg recently said, gone are the days of 500 employees to do one animation. Now they only need 10%, which is 50 employees.
Oh, yeah. I mean, literally, like, that's the same way with TV. I mean, TV used to be where you'd have, you'd have the camera guy, you'd have the graphics guy, you'd have the edit tape guy. He'd basically be there making sure everything's, you know, moving through the systems and everything like that. You'd have four or five people in the room just to make one thing go down, and now it's all just run by a robot. You know, TV news is basically robots. I mean, I think my one friend, she's the director, and that's it. It used to be like you'd have four or five people in the studio, if not maybe even close to 10, and now it's just her. You know, it's all robots. There's no cameramen or women anymore at all. You got your talking head news people, and you got your cameras that are run by robots. And that's it.
And then you got AI journalists that the Chinese were first to try.
Yeah.
They're like, we need an AI journalist who goes up there, because, you know, you don't need it. Like, you know how you do all your lighting and when you have your news section, right?
Yeah.
You got to prep somebody. You got to prep Kelly Jean or whoever. You got to put the makeup on them. You got to check the lighting before you do it. Like, can you imagine controlling that? It's an artificial universe, but you don't have to paint the wall green. Like, all the stuff you did, I remember you telling, you know, documenting all the stuff you've done over the years. Now, the computer takes care of all that.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Now, granted, it's not going to look real, but...
But we're going towards a society where people don't really expect it to look real anymore.
Right. They don't recognize.
It's like they won't, and then as soon as they keep going forward with it, they won't even know. Like I said, a lot of these characters that you've probably seen who supposedly are around and doing stuff are probably dead, and they're still carrying them out with AI because they've had the technology for 30, 40, 50 years, and they've implemented it already, and we don't even recognize it that they've implemented it.
And a new study has shown that when people are shown real and AI images, people commonly identify real images, fake images as real.
Yeah. Because they can make it look better too.
Yeah.
I mean, if they go to real, it's like, okay, well, you could see as Tom Cruise gets older, they're not going to go for that. And that's just the mentality that we think.
Isn't that wicked that Tom Cruise deepfakes every time they put that goofy guy up there?
Oh, yeah.
That's goofy, man. You're like, what the heck? He's playing guitar? You know, just like that deep fake of Mark Zuckerberg they did of him, you know, in there in his office talking to people. You know, it's like, you don't know.
When they had the COVID, so they had to sit at home, right? All these guys, when they were talking to Congress, and I'm like, dude, I'm looking at this, I'm like, man, that seems like a deep fake video of this guy. It's like, man, he's probably on some fucking beach in Barbados, literally, and sitting there in Congress hearings, because literally an AI guy that they invented, and he's answering questions.
Yeah.
Or you could have anybody. It could be somebody else.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. It's like they can form and be Mark Zuckerberg sitting in the chair and answering the questions with his voice and his look.
And I couldn't photograph this quick enough yesterday, but I turned on BBC and they were showing clips of Biden with the Prime Minister of India, Narendra Modi, I believe his name is.
Right.
And they were before a temple. Anyways, the Prime Minister of India put a ceremonial scarf on the president.
Yeah.
And I could have sworn, bro, look, you got a better eye, you could tell. I could have sworn they're standing in front of green screen. I could bet my life on it. It was too artificial. It was like really bright in the background.
Yeah.
It was a temple, and he was pretending to show Biden the temple.
Yeah.
It looked like they were composited.
Yeah, that's all staged. I mean, sometimes they even had him. You can see it. Like, there was one time he came out on the White House lawn and he lost half of his arm because it was like the digital CGI screwed up. Man, he's missing a body part here.
Wow.
It's all CGI. That guy's all CGI. I was like, basically, you're watching. I'm just like, damn. I'm like, you don't get it. I'm just like, technology to do it.
Right. Point in society.
I found all these characters up because that's how evil they were. I think. I'm going to tell you right now, they didn't have the control like they do, because they've been doing this for like the last 10 years, probably even 20, 30. So it's going to get real fucking weird. I'm like, man, expect anything in the next 300 days, because, you know, somewhere along the line here,
There's an older Mission Impossible where Tom Cruise is captured.
Uh-huh.
He's captured by the protagonist. And they tie him up, right, in the interrogation room. And then at some point in the scene, the interrogation rooms fall down.
Uh-huh.
And Tom Cruise finds himself in a CNN studio.
Ah.
And yeah, it's a really interesting scene. I forgot which one it is. But it's like, and then that dissolves, and then it's like, well, what's real?
Yeah.
Like,
you know? They show you everything in the movies. I mean, like, I think I told you this one time I was watching Avatar, right, or whatever, one of these fucking, I never watched the movies, but one day I got stuck at my friend's and I'm bored, and I'm watching Avatar, or whatever the little blue people movie,
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm like, dude, this sounds like the Iraqi takeover kind of shit. I'm like, that's what they do. They subliminally, and that was one of the things I took when I was in college years ago, was a subliminal advertising course, which I think they outlawed it. Wait a minute, they're going to show people what is actually happening to them. And it all has to do with that. It's all subliminal advertising. That's what the whole thing is. It's basically how they mind control you. It's an MK Ultra. Everything you're watching is some type of science, or it's a movie or anything. I just recognize it more. Don't watch the stuff. I'm like, dude, if you can do what you're doing to people on the Springer show, you can sell them anything.
Yeah.
You know? So that was like, for me, that was kind of like, okay, I'm either going to stick around here. And I, like I said, that kind of left a bad taste in my mouth too. So I'm like, I don't want to work for these corporate people.
But you got some valuable knowledge of what happens.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like, it's the circus, you know? And it's just like, I'm like, okay, I'd rather just struggle on my own in a sense and just do my own quality TV that's cool than worry about going up the chain of events and being there and all of a sudden losing my job.
Yeah, like UHF, man. You know, it's like, you know, all of a sudden, I mean, that's classic, that scene where the CEO of that news corporation, he gets news that the ratings are dropping. He's like, okay, so who's beating us? Yeah, some local UHF station. And then they go try to buy him out, you know.
Yeah. Local cable was so good in Dearborn that literally we competed and we actually won awards. We were that good.
Wow.
I mean, our cable was good. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, like, oh, gosh. You know, it was like, you look forward to watching the shows. And the only thing that worked against us was they had more content coming out over the years. So nobody's going to click to our channel. I mean, even when we had, like I said, when we were doing ATV, it was a cool thing, and we were lucky because we were on the last broadcast station, but you could never do that ever again because there's no more openings for people to do that, you know? And that's the thing. It's like, that shouldn't be like that. Nothing should be like that. Radio shouldn't be the way radio is. Radio should be breaking new artists all the time. We shouldn't hear Beyonce's tune over and over again.
It's because the algorithms now run it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. It's all computerized. It's like, guys that are DJs now for the big stations don't even go to work. They just do their voices and they throw them in there and they sit at home. But you don't know, man. You think they're on the radio.
Jeez. You know? Yeah.
Yeah. It's... In fact, one of my friends, he just ended up building a sound studio just so he could strictly just work from his house. And that's, he doesn't even check into the radio station anymore. He just totally works from his house, turns in his voice, and they say, okay, here's what's coming up. You do all that, get it done, send it over to us, and they just program it. It's all AI.
Yeah, the algorithms.
Yeah. So, and really, it's great, but I mean, it's not needed. I mean, come on, you know. We live in a society where it's like, you know, you could really be, you know, just doing so much more.
Well, it just shows how far technology's come that you could work on your own now. You know, the fact that you can now guerrilla your journalism, you know, report from the ground, to report the truth. You gotta keep saying it, you know.
Yeah.
You could broadcast from your phone or wherever, you know.
Oh yeah, I mean, like I said, I think it's a great opportunity for people that are independent and be able to really get out there and stuff like that. But to move above like just being independent and being something where it's national, it's just very difficult because they own all the tools,
right,
and as you can see, they have the list of actors that they're just going to use that are contracted underneath them for the last 50 years, you know? It's like, I mean, like, it's just crazy to me. It's just, they're never going to shake it. Nobody's going to allow them to take a chance because everybody's just so mundane towards everything, you know? It's like when they start to say, I ain't going to go see that movie. Who the hell's going to go see The Irishman with a bunch of... And not to say that these guys aren't great actors and stuff, but it's like, why would you even want to... You know, it's like, if you're going to tell a good story like that...
That's why I like The Departed. That's a movie I liked with Jack Nicholson. Right? Nicholson? Is that his name?
Yeah,
Jack Nicholson? Yeah. Sorry, get those. Jack Nicholson, Matt Damon, all these guys, right?
Yeah.
Have you seen The Departed?
No, I don't think
okay.
so.
Okay, that's an Irish movie.
Yeah, Whitey okay. Bulger.
These guys, like, everybody they cast, you believe they're Irish. They're hanging out at the Irish bar. They've got the accent, you know. They're gritty looking. Like, yeah, that's Irish, you know. But check it out. It's good.
Here's a great one, too. They could have put this guy in it, man. They shot it here in Detroit. There's a movie called The Irishman, and a lot of people that were in it were friends of ours. They shot it here in Detroit. And they used my friend's truck in the movie, too. And
that's awesome.
It was a good flick, man. That was a good one. That was maybe I'll put that one up there, but it was called The Irishman. I can't remember. It was about Danny somebody. And
Danny.
It was fun, but I know they shot part of it here years ago.
Well, let's see, 2023, well, we're going back to vinyl. You know. Vinyl's always the best. I mean, you could totally see in his facial features, his nose is totally different from when he was younger. It actually got bigger instead of smiling like Michael Jackson.
Obsoleto. Obsoleto.
What's up?
Hey, Happy New Year, bro. Merry Christmas.
Happy New Year, man. Merry Christmas. How's things?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. Just sitting here at the studio. Just got some stuff done. We're setting up on a new show, so I was just doing some emails, kind of finalizing some things here. So we're looking to do, it's called Detroit Open Mic, and we're going to be doing
nice.
different variety acts and, you know, bands and stuff like that, so.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know if you were available. I wanted to say hi and see what you're up to. Always interesting.
I see you got some Amiga stuff there. Or Commodore.
Yeah, Commodore 128. Yeah.
Yeah, 128, huh? That's cool.
I had that, but I put the picture up there, you know, for dramatic effect. But, yeah. But I got the new Atari as a birthday gift, so that was a surprise.
That's right, it's your birthday too, huh?
Yeah.
It's your birthday and Christmas right there, huh?
Yeah, all together.
Yeah, do you always get, like, Shylock on your birthday?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, twofer. Yeah, twofer. Yeah, twofer, yeah.
I basically got out of that little window, man, just by about a week, because mine's January 20th, right? So usually that shit lasts until about January 3rd or the
17th. Yeah, laugh or cry. I'm going to cry. Yeah, it's called the twofer. Twofer one. Twofer.
The wise men show up and they give the baby, big Jesus a gift, and it's for your birthday and Christmas gift as well.
Yeah. Yeah, but this is the new Atari, which is the Atari 2600, 5400, and 7800, all the games in one.
Oh, yeah.
And it's got wireless joysticks, and it's got a mini SD card reader, so all I could import all my Atari stuff into it.
Oh, okay.
So it's backwards compatible.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, so that was a birthday present, but other than that, I'm not upgrading on anything, man. I don't upgrade. You know, I'm Dr. Obsoleto. You know,
exactly.
So I'm downgrading, you know. But
we've got some new stuff here. We picked up what the heck is it? We got a couple speakers. I see everything online, man. My buddy, Billy.
Oh, yeah?
We have a Yamaha, basically, what the hell they used to call them? Monitor, you know.
Oh, okay.
You just have the volume, obviously, loudness, treble, bass. I don't even know what the hell you call them. I guess it would be. It was basically, I had one back in the day, and
yeah.
then My buddy just brought one in. We can plug in all the material, like all the speakers and everything. It's pretty dope, man.
That's cool. Sounds good to you, huh?
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's a receiver, bro. That's what they call it, receiver. Dude, I lost my mind there for a second. Yeah, after ages of being in rock and roll, you forget what the hell they call that stuff.
Right.
Now they call it something different, you know? So, yeah, it's a receiver. It's pretty dope.
That's cool.
We're talking old stories, right? We were at a show one time, and we blew an amp. So we're like, oh, man, what are you going to do? So we ended up pulling out the old receiver, and it worked.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it worked. We ended up using that instead of an amp.
Yeah.
Yeah. We can use it, you know.
By the way, I'm publishing a new episode. You're going to be at the forefront of it.
Okay,
and
cool, man.
It's all about Detroit. It's going to be called Detroit Obsoleto.
All right, man.
So I'll be publishing it tonight, and I'm going to put part of this on there. So what's that?
That's fantastic.
Yeah, hopefully you can listen to the new episodes. I did a retrospective of 2023. I sent you that link last week.
Okay.
So that's a 2023 retrospective of retro.
Okay.
And then some AI and some technology. And then the Christmas episode. And yeah, I'm just trying to get through the backlog of things, you know.
I'll catch up. Yeah, I got to catch up on some stuff. I've been doing a couple other quick little things here video-wise, but I just finished up a gig. I did a group called Crud, and then you might know the band called Sponge. So I did I was doing a pretty big thing with them.
Oh, cool.
Just to do with that. Plus, I do a lot of work in town with this one, I want to do, I should say, a lot of work in town with this one club, so I'm trying to get them to work with what we're doing. So
that's great, I love your new thing, the mic. I like that, the mic. I like the fact that you're, you know, going into these different arts, you know, supporting these people, you know, supporting the artists.
Yeah. I mean, we were, like I said, from Tune In Tuesday, it was all local cats, but a lot of the local guys were international, and, you know, we just... A lot of times we'll just call up our buddies. you know, who could show up from, you know, Jesse Cam from MTV or, you know, I mean, we've heard some pretty, you know.
Yeah.
Pretty much cash, but on their own level. Cool. You know, it's like a lot of people don't even understand, you know, like when we're talking, like even back in the day with ATV, talking to Carl Cox, you know, it's like a lot of people just like here in the United States, they didn't know too much about it. Over in Europe, obviously, you know, it was big. But then there were certain people, like my one friend, was showing the video. It's so funny. And she was showing the video to a friend of hers on VHS, right? And the dude was watching. He's like, she goes, "Is that your buddy?" And she's like, "Yeah, this is my buddy. You know, buddy since we were kids, you know." And he's like, "I can't believe he's talking to Carl Cox." And she's like, "What the hell is Carl Cox?" You know, she's like, "Who is this guy?" He's like, "This is my buddy Jimmy. This is his show. You know, this is like, hey, no buddy, right?" And you know, there you go. It's just, that's pretty cool. You know what I'm
saying? That's really cool, yeah. Well,
yeah,
sure.
Like I said,
yeah.
I look forward to bringing, like, a lot of people, even on technology wise, you know, on both levels, like whether that be behind the scenes, sound, you know, or video. It's nice that we can intermix that because a lot of cats can't do that. They're usually either one on the front end or they're on the back end. So I think it's nice because we can incorporate both because it's just
Video, yeah, sure, you know. That's the benefit of doing video, you know.
Yeah.
We were doing it before the internet, before social media, you know. We were carrying around the camera, you know, and, you know, taping people and content creation before it was even called content creation, before, you know, this idea of an influencer. There's no more artists, dude.
Yeah.
There's no more artists. It's you're an influencer. We weren't influencers back then. You were either a videographer or you were a DJ or your producer.
Yeah.
You know, and occasionally you'd see some cats come through, say, "Yeah, I play trumpets on a house music." You know, cool, man. Yeah. You know, you've got some different talents, you know, but this was, we were doing it before. And that's the beauty of the video, the visual, because we can mix in different mediums, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. And that's kind of where we're going to start to move in that direction. I was so funny, just before you called, I was thinking, okay, well, it would be nice if they could invent a product where I can actually digitize my videos, but I did them quicker, you know, and it still saved the same regular speed it would be on the tapes. But I have to do it. It takes an hour to video, you know, to digitize an hour video, you know. So. But that would be a cool invention, that teleportation.
That's
so
cool.
Yeah, so now I've got tons of video that we're going to start to really digitize, because we got to really start backing this stuff up now. And just, you know, especially because a lot of people don't even know. We still have tons and tons of ATV that nobody's even seen. Like, we had Underworld, we've had, like, just a bunch of shows that I just never got to because there was just so much content at the time, and we could only do so much in a half hour show.
Right.
And that's what people don't get. I mean, that show was just, it revolutionized the way, one, I feel, marketing, because the way we marketed our show, when you were watching, we go into the TV commercials and there would be electronica commercials. You know, they'd be exciting and people would be just like, oh my God, this is the commercial.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, nobody was doing shit like that. Well, now you see it all the time, because look at your commercials before your video clips or whatever you're watching on the internet. They got to be exciting. They got to be drawing people in right away. So they're usually often based around how the next video is going to look, you know. And that's kind of where we're at. You know, it's like I've been trying to explain that kind of sponsorship to some people so we can get some stuff for our shows. And that's the main thing. It's like, you know, people are like, well, you got it here, and there. I go, well, that's kind of conventional. Look at where you're at now with the internet and how people are going to react to your ad that's right there in front of their face. Are they going to react to an ad that's in a magazine, go home and look it up? Probably not. Are they going to react to it from a billboard they see? Maybe, sort of. But if they're right there on the internet already and they're looking at your commercial, that's pretty cool.
And you know what I wanted to tell you too? I wanted to say something, which I think you know this already, which is about deep fakes. But I think we're going into a new category of deep fakes, and I'm going to explain this, and I don't know what the name of it is yet.
Okay.
But what it is, and catch your eye on this on the internet, is people are posting celebrity photos of celebrities, but what they're doing is they're de-aging them.
Okay.
They're taking photos of, you know, what was it? Al Pacino and who else? That woman from Scarface? I forgot her name. Anyways, thank you. They're putting in those photos and they're de-aging them and they're saying, oh, they were on the red carpet. It's all fake news. But this is a new deep fake category that I'm looking at. And then Bing today, Microsoft, they ran an ad where they're using AI photos of people, families, celebrating Christmas around the fire.
Yeah.
And it's all fake.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So a lot of the AI art is already penetrating advertising hardcore.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Because they don't have to set up the models and the makeup artists and right? And the paid a photographer and then post-processing and then what? You just do some props. I mean, I'm just shocked. I'm not surprised, but I'm almost shocked that it's happening so quickly. What are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I knew as soon as the floodgate kind of opened, I honestly think a lot of it, as we've talked about before, has already been put into play. I think a lot of stuff that you've watched before, you might not even know that. Sadly, I feel, too, I think a lot of the stuff was created, like, say, for example, when they replaced the guy in The Crow. What's his name? I can't think of his name right now. But that's basically kind of where they were going to. You know, it's like that's how they started it. And, like, I mean, you see it now. I mean, it's just, it's weird because there's two little, like, things. Like, for example, the AI that you could say is AI from the beginning is like when you're listening to your newscast and they're all saying the exact same speech, it's almost like AI. You've seen that one video where they play the newscasters and they're all saying the same speech. There's, like, 300 of them, you know. Sometimes, like, two. And then there's 300 of them. And they're all saying the same, you know, speech, man. It's just like, so if you want to look at that, like, they're training you for AI, though you don't even know you're being trained for it, but you are.
Yeah.
And then what they do is they start to slip in the AI portion of it because they already know.
Unbelievable.
They've already invented it, like, in 1920, you know, so. But I could see, you know, it's like, it's, and like, I mean, once again, I've talked about this before. I think it's brilliant if you use it correctly. It can be dangerous if it's going to be used incorrectly. And sadly, that's usually where it goes to, is the dangerous part. I mean, they've already started talking about the robots that were attacking some dude.
Yeah.
Robots off some guy already. So right there, man, that's a clue. You know, they had to go to the big button and shut the whole thing down while the boss is pissing and moaning because his pride ain't being made. They're like, get the robot off the
yeah, table. It's like RoboCop when they brought in Ed 209. Do you remember that? Do you remember RoboCop?
I remember RoboCop. Oh yeah.
Remember at 209, he goes, shut it down, and the guy's literally ripping the motherboard out of the controller podium.
That's already up. It's already gone that way, man. There's some article I read the other day on the internet. They're like, pull the robot up, the guy, man, shut down the system.
Yeah.
The robot is attacking.
But you know what I was talking about the other day? I also think this is going to have effect on the film schools, where you're not going to see a lot of the traditional arts being taught.
Oh, no, man, that's already been on. Films, like, it's weird because I got into it in the curve, too, yeah. You know? And it was like, I could see where it was going. It was going to all just where you're at now. Digital, you know, it's I don't know, it's weird because it's like, I see the avenue that could really work out already, like Netflix and everything like that, but nobody's doing anything interesting. Like, you had the Sundance Channel, and Silicon Valley got bought out. You know what I'm saying? It was kind of cool and breaking new film guys, but nowadays there's no room. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, okay, well now you get Netflix and all this other things. You know, it'd be cool if some guys had some independent stuff on there, but no, they, you know, they do their little thing.
Right.
That's where it sucks because now that you're growing more channels, and then you have the opportunity to reinvent these videos forever, including KISS, which is going to come back on a virtual tour. It's all basically, you can just put it out there. People are just kind of used to mundane, and they'll take a little bit more mundane for the uniqueness, you know? And it'll just kind of carry on. But, you know, I don't know. Like I said, if it's like, I'll give you another example. We were working on a wedding site, right? And I was kind of reading it, and you could tell, like, the robot put the site together, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and most people won't notice it, you know? I mean, it's pretty good, but I can kind of see, because obviously,
right, it's automated, right? Oh, automated editing.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, and if it gets the job done,
about it gives me a general idea. Yeah. And I can go in there and fix it up and say how I want to say it, so it gives me some good pointers on what to say, and then I go back and I kind of fix it up to say what I want to say. So, you know, there's this fine line, you know, but as I said before too, it's like that fine line. I'll notice it, you'll notice it, people, our groups will notice it that are into this stuff, but most of the people, they just won't notice it, and they'll just, that's what they'll do. So, in a sense, like, that's why you're going to have more and more of the robots taking over, you know? But it's also true, it's like, there's other jobs now, like, people can make more money doing DoorDash, usually, but working with the grocery store, you know? Well,
and what about the Uncanny Valley? You know what this is? When people see, like, a robot, their mind, it's the uncanny valley. You know something's artificial, yeah. Like CGI or, you know, Star Trek, you know,
right.
When they were doing the CGI and they're trying to make it look human, but it's digital, it's CGI.
Oh, yeah.
But your mind catches. It's called uncanny valley.
Oh, okay.
Check this out. There's a lot being said about this.
Okay.
And now the new generation doing TikTok videos where they're humans and they're pretending to be robots by putting makeup on. It's it's a weird trend that's going on now. Anyways, I did an episode on that, Uncanny Valley.
Oh, okay. That's
like a week ago or so. You're probably on that one too.
Okay,
but
cool.
But yeah, check that out. You know, because you know they're trying to mimic reality.
Yeah,
you know, and we seem to be in a simulation. That's what really smart people are coming up with and telling me, you know, and people that I wouldn't normally think of as this type of thinker, you know, but maybe we're in a simulation, you know, and, you know, I don't know. But the robots are going to edit the videos because they could do it quicker.
Oh, yeah. Well, like I said, I mean, it's a great great thing for now. Like, I mean, it's perfect because it obviously takes a lot of weight off of my shoulders right now, which is helpful. But at the same time, too, you always want to make sure you add your fine touches. It's like, I was there. Like, I'll example. The robots weren't there. I was there, so I know exactly how to edit the video, and I know what scene I'm looking for. That was the uniqueness of the show, too, is I knew exactly which shot I could go to make that scene more powerful. You know what I'm saying? It's like, and you always wanted to build up. And that's the other thing, too, is a lot of people never realize it's like, it's just like playing a record when we were doing the videos. We built up the show. If you watched even the DVD that you were on, we built it up. You know, we wanted to start off with local guys and kind of make it almost like a local guy, but still international. You
know? Yeah, that was awesome. Very nicely put together, produced.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, bro.
And like I said, that's what we kind of want to carry on. It's like, example of, like, what I sent you the other day. Did you see that with the Saturday Night Fever loop?
Oh, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. Did you see how he was doing the loop, too, with that long tape he was across the room?
That's awesome.
Imagine that. Now you just go on your sample beats. That dude actually used, you know, video, or audio, I should say, you know? And that's, you know, like, all the people don't get it, man. It's like, that's where it came from. And I often find it's much more clean. Yeah, you listen to albums as opposed to, digital sampled files, man. It's
way
big difference.
Big difference, yeah. But, you know, it's changed. Digital technology, you know, in the 80s, all those studios were reeling from that. No pun intended. They were reeling from Pro Tools. Pro Tools came in around 86, 87. And all of a sudden, they forced all these guys into this. So, you know.
Well, I mean, a lot of it, too, is it just became convenient, man. It's like, okay, you know, I just, it's something I can really check out. I can, you know, I can tune it to sound like it, you know, and it just, that's kind of where you have to be, because it's like,
Obsoleto, like, you're listening to Man Behind the Machine.
I was just into doing the video editing digital wise because I just come off the Video Toaster, and I was doing it on the Mac, and then that was still pretty heavy, you know. But nowadays, it's so easy. It's like we have things like, even on the show, like little TVs in the corner, digital effects coming in and out, stuff that's way ahead of its game.
Right.
We actually were doing, like, that was part of what I was doing. I already could see the internet. It's because I was already having advertisement come up during the, say, a Boy George video, and his, you know, CD would come up and go to that website. Nobody was doing that shit on TV. Nobody. We were the first guys that ever did that. That became like the internet. You see all these gifts coming up during the videos.
Right.
There you go.
Right, yeah. Exactly. And that all took rendering time.
Oh, gosh, yes. Yeah, man, it was crazy. You know, it was like, I'd sit there for days, man, just waiting for that thing to render and get it done, just to race it down to the channel. Literally, that was the most, the time was just the rendering of it.
Right.
It was still in the infancy of, like, the beginning non-linear editing. So,
yeah. Well, hopefully they'll still need humans to tell the stories, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Even if the machines are going to take over, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
you know, like I don't know. I just...
It can work for all, but for some reason I always find that somebody's out there behind an iron curtain doing some crazy things, you know? So, it's like... And then they usually put that out there. But, you know, there's so much brilliance behind it, you know, work for what it is and be able to accept what's going on and be able to work it into what you're doing. I mean, it's exactly like film movies. It's so much easier now to run these red cameras at digital and make the movies to digital, because you could be right there and run it back and see if it worked out. If it doesn't work out, you didn't lose 2 days of work by going back, developing this shit, looking at it. Oh, you know, they... Fucking one time they didn't load the camera correct with the fucking slime things for Ghostbusters, and they had to go back and shoot the whole thing in the freezing cold. So that certainly didn't make the cast and crew happy. But imagine if you were there and able to check that out and say, "Oh, we screwed it up. Let's go back and do it again." You know, it saves on, you know, time and money. So, but then now you, like I said, you, where the actors are going to get mad. That's why a lot of them started to strike, because when they're dead, they're still making money off of them, because they AI'd them and basically made movies like around them.
Oh, really?
Which I think a lot of these movies already are. I think a lot of these cats are probably just retired and they just put these AI movies together. You know, your Will Smiths and your Tom Cruises. These guys are probably just sitting on a beach somewhere just enjoying pina coladas.
You know what? I just found out in Sopranos that they use CGI in this one scene. It's very simple. It's Christopher and Polly Walnuts. They're stranded in the woods, and it's snow.
Yeah, I saw that.
Right,
and they go.
Yeah, okay. So they go into they find a van. Okay. They find a van in the middle of the forest, and they're trying to. It's at night, so they're trying to get warm.
Yeah.
Anyways, apparently, they did all of the shots upstate New York in the forest, but then they did the van scene on a soundstage. Some studios that they always did. Anyways, they're in the van and it's cold, obviously, so your breath's going to be cold, right?
Yeah.
They used CGI for that.
Absolutely. I mean, like I said, and that's the thing where that's where they're at. I mean, look at where there was that show came out in like late 1990s, maybe, you know.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, they knew about this. Brandon Lee was the one I was thinking of from The Crow. So basically, they kind of knew even during The Crow times, like, oh, we're going to cut this guy around. We're going to figure it out. So they already knew. They already know what's going on. They know 10, 20, 30 years in advance of what's going on, you know. So it's like, you know, once again, it's a great opportunity because, okay, you can go out and shoot some B-roll, okay? So you send some dude out there, he shoots the B-roll, you come back, you have the stars, basically they're safe and sound on the soundstage, and you just have them walk into the scene, and it's all blue screen and green screen kind of stuff. And you have some guy that does special effects and CGIs, he just adds all the breath, which is just a little bit of smoke.
Yeah.
That's it, you know? That don't take shit.
But I didn't even know when I saw it first time. It didn't phase me.
Oh, yeah. There you go. I mean, I just saw that the other day, too, so I would have never grabbed it. But when you know about it, most of it is. I mean, like, I've been on a couple larger movie sets, you know, on the sound stuff, and every sound that you hear is basically produced. But nowadays, I'm sure they just add it in. But for the most part, you had sound guys that would produce each sound that you would hear. Like, I was on a set for the Addams Family.
Yeah.
And then, I was on I saw the sound being produced for one of the scenes in the Addams Family. It was when Uncle Fester comes upstairs and he opens up this the attic door.
Yeah.
And then he threw his chainsaw up there. It was Christopher Lloyd. That's the Addams Family one. It was the first one. So, but my girlfriend at the time, her good friend was a sound guy. So he did the sound for The Hunt for Red October. They won an Oscar. So we were out there visiting him. And at the time when we were visiting him, he actually was working on the Addams Family with Angelica Houston, I think it was. And I can't think who the other guy was. But Christopher Lloyd was in as Uncle Fester. And that's the scene they were shooting. But they had to add each sound. The sound of the chainsaw going up there. And they were hitting it on wood, you know. And they do the door. They do a door creak. It was quite amazing.
Wow. Very cool.
And now I'm sure they just got them all backlogged into a catalog. They just go to, you know. But, you know, I think even, like I said, you know, the first Star Wars, you know, with the first, like, the lasers, whenever they shoot guns off or whatever at each other.
Yeah.
You know what that was, right?
Well, light or what?
Yeah, you know what? No, you know what the sound was? You know how they produce that sound?
How?
Okay. If you go, there's a... phone wires, you know how they with the steel cord into the ground. Have you ever seen that before? Like if you're on phone poles and stuff?
Yeah.
Okay, so they got steel cord in the ground. They were banging that, and that's actually what they used is at least it's what I've heard the story. I could be wrong.
That's awesome.
They used that sound actually for the gunshot sound. They were messing with it and they slowed it down. So it was all, beep, beep. It's actually somebody hitting like the steel metal pipe or the cord near the telephone pole.
That's so awesome.
Yeah. Don't quote me on that one, though, but that's what I've heard. I think if you Google it up, I think it comes back as that. But yeah, it's like, there used to be guys like another great movie, if you ever get a chance to see it, is with John Travolta. It's called Blowout. It's a Brian De Palma movie. And I think he was actually doing that technique in the movie. He was actually recording him hitting the phone wire cord or the steel thing.
Yeah.
And, he was doing some stuff. He was recording some B-roll sound, right? And he ended up capturing, like, a murder. So it was really cool. And they
hunted them down. They're like, oh, we got to get that video from you, because I guess supposedly it was somebody that was this assassination kind of thing going on. And it got pretty deep. But cool, man.
Oh, John Travolta movie.
Nobody even knows about that one with John Travolta. It was like one of those movies too. It was like kind of like, I can't remember if it was after, I think it was after Sinai Fever, and his career was kind of going downhill there for a minute. Yeah. And then he ended up doing that, and it was really a good movie, but nobody got into it because it was just kind of, it's kind of mundane. It was kind of like not really boring, but it was a Brian De Palma, you know, it was an interesting mystery movie.
Yeah.
You know, and they don't make movies like that anymore.
They
you know?
Don't.
That's the other thing, as I was saying, the mundaneness of it. They can get away with it now because it's like they're going to make the umpteenth Marvel movie, and it's all just going to be CGI. They don't even need the actors. The actors can just stay at home, and they can put green screen over everybody and just put the actor's face on it. He can stay home now and get paid. Nobody's asking for any more. I mean, nobody. I mean, it's just like the Star Wars and all the shit. Nobody's asking. I mean, I watched Blade Runner. I mean, that was cool. Like the special effects were cool. Like I like the set design in the movie, storyline, and I didn't really get into it. But it's just like I said, they want to rehash Blade Runner.
Cool. Yeah. But the original Blade Runner is awesome.
I like sometimes just to leave it be, man. Just leave Blade Runner alone. Nobody needs to be remaking anything. You know, do something different.
Right.
A new movie that is the equivalent of Blade Runner, but on its own uniqueness, you know, everything like that, you know?
Yeah, just leave it alone. Well, that's the creativeness of the human touch.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's in danger of being lost.
Yeah,
you know,
they've driven people now to just accept whatever the fuck.
Accept it, like, yeah.
I'm sitting there watching The Irishman with a bunch of fucking Italian guys that played mafia guys who are Italian.
I know,
so
it's a disgrace. It really is.
I'm not buying.
Yeah.
At least have some Irish guys that are in their 40s. You know, give me that. You know, it's like it's just not working. But they want to rehash this whole Al Pacino. You know, whoever the hell, all these old gangsters in the same old flicks. I'm like, retire these guys, man.
Yeah, right. They're going to retire them into the AI world and they'll live forever. That's what this is promising. This is promising immortality.
Oh, it is, bro.
You know? I'm listening to soul music right now. Yeah, I'm getting into it, man. I love it. Like disco soul. You know, that's what I want to hear, man. I want to hear some sweat and tears from humans. That's what you can't get from the machine, you know?
That's what people don't get, man. It's just like, you don't want to let it get away, man. Be able to really accept the past, make it work with you, and move it toward the future, and also have the future already coming with you, where you can work together with it, and make other things happen. You know?
Yeah, and it's not, we can't deny it. It's here.
I think there's great opportunities for that. You know, it's just like, it's like I said, even with the whole thing with the red cameras and everything like that, where you can. You know, review stuff, and it just makes it that much more cost effective.
Right.
But also, too, just be able to say, okay, well, great. Now that we can do a cost effective movie, let's start to do some local guys. Let's get them in the movie business. Let's go into them and sponsor their movies and get them out there instead of just rehashing the same old movies and putting them on the big screen. That's what it's supposed to be. You know, you're supposed to go to a movie house and see local movies along with maybe an international movie. You know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the touch, you know, like, okay, so AI is really good. Last thing I'm going to say, and then I got to bounce. AI is really good at, like, lighting, okay? Like, perfection, right?
Yeah.
But does it all have to be perfection? The reason why I say this is I've been watching, like, 70s shows recently, like Kolchak the Night Stalker, which was shot in Chicago in the early 70s. And I just love the graininess of some of the, it's like dark, and the lighting isn't like scientific, but you get that with the AI, with Unreal Engine, you know? Mathematically, it can computationally outsmart a human with lighting, but is that necessary? Again, what's the fine line?
Yeah, that's basically what's up. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm always going to be nostalgic, you know, and then, like, it's like you watch the stuff. I think people will still do that. And once again, it's like, here's what I've been really kind of studying, is like, you'll probably see these videos online, and I know they're AI generated, and I've basically created them.
Right.
It's like the old scenes out in the streets,
of like people walking around and shit, like in the 1920s and in Europe and in France, and then they got some New York City stuff, and basically it's just a bunch of stuff that looks like it's AI that they created, and it looks, you know, like obviously at the time and everything like that. So I don't know if you see it. If I find some link,
I haven't seen this. It's basic. The machines are studying.
Yeah.
The machines are studying that. They'll study the analog look.
Yeah.
You know,
see, that's where the lighting and everything like that is pretty much spot on, because it makes you feel like you're right there. But I can tell, and I would almost put a gamble on it, that that's probably AI-generated video. I couldn't see it as like somebody had some old video from that time, you know, videotaping in the streets. I could be wrong. But, you know, there you go. You know, it's kind of where we're at. And then the lighting, you're right. It's like, and then once again, I just go back to it. It's like, okay, can it work for you? Yes.
Yeah.
I mean,
sure.
Absolutely. And then can it be just kind of overdrawn? Well, yeah. Well, you look at your Star Wars movies. I mean, they're all shot with Unreal Engine and green screen stuff.
Well, look, I'm not against it, bro, because that's like me saying you can't use a synthesizer.
Yeah.
I am not gonna go that far, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, it's a tool, right?
Oh yeah.
So, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's a tool, but we're still going to hold the camera. I joked the other day saying, what are they going to teach in the future in the film schools? They're going to teach, once upon a time, people actually had to hold the camera in their hand. And then the students are going to go, oh my God, that's so barbaric. Oh my God, that's like so Neanderthal.
Yeah.
But think about it, bro.
Yeah,
the idea of holding a camera.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to get this drone. They got little drones that'll follow you around.
Yeah.
You know. You know. You know, this sounds sci-fi, but it's not very far off.
No. I mean, it's there. I mean, I'll give you another example that works. It's like, okay, here's a perfect thing for me as a wedding videographer, which I would suggest to any like person who's actually in film school as a second job, you know, is to become wedding involved. But literally, when you can go in there, and all you have to do now is just have four or five cameras placed, you know, in the room in certain key locations, and you sit at the thing and you're basically running the switcher. Well, now you've made their video by the end of the night, so by the time you're done, all you have to do now is just upload it, and then they can download it. You just send them the link, you know, the following day or the next couple of days after you added a couple of things to it, and then there you go. You know, you've got a great little wedding video, and it's all been produced by four cameras. Nobody's really manning it except for one guy in a chair. And that same guy, too, can actually do some pre-production of saying, like a growing up video, you know, a bunch of different photographs.
Yeah, I was at a wedding last year, and they had a room where they set up a camera. Like, it was not a typical camera. It was a custom setup. But they had screens, and you could take your photos. There was no photographer there.
Yeah.
The photographer was around the other, in another part of the wedding. But this was all automated. You sit in front of it, and it takes photos. And then it gives you a QR code. And before you leave that section, that little booth, it gives you your photo on your phone. It texts you.
Yeah, there you go.
Right?
Yeah. And that's where, like I said, that's where technology can be really good for people. And at the same time, too, being able not only to get people who want to start a small business at a really affordable rate. And, you know, that's kind of what we're doing. I mean, that's what we do. I mean, it's like we know there's money in DJing at weddings, you know. So we have a crew that does weddings in the summertime. We do all right by being able to do a little better in the future. And the next thing is putting in a video production of the level of like three or four cameras. All you have to do is set them up and have a guy sitting there doing all the switching and add all kinds of graphics and everything like that along the way that gets everybody excited. And at the end of the night, you've got a product that's pretty much ready to go to print, you know?
Yeah, it's cool.
I mean,
You break it, I fix it.
You could only usually afford to give people a tape or two because it was obviously cost, you know, involved. Nowadays, you can just send the link out to everybody so they've got a copy of your special thing, you know?
Yeah.
Which is kind of nice. So that's where, like I said, technology can really work. And that's the other thing, too, is once you train the robot how to do it, the robot can basically be helping out, you know, doing the editing. And all we do is, like I said, make it quicker and faster. and obviously more productive in that sense to do it in people's hands,
Yeah, it's crazy. Automation. You know, robot DJ, robot photographer.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Again, this was a wedding, very nice wedding, in a barn in Wisconsin, and they set this thing up, okay? Right. This wasn't like, you know, we were at a convention center. Right, this was in the sticks.
Yeah.
And these cats set it up with the Wi-Fi and everything.
Right.
You know, and people loved it. And you know, you scan the code.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Right.
And you don't have to worry, you know, oh yeah, you got to track down the wedding photographer. Can I get your phone number? Can I get my photos? Please. Robot DJ, bro.
Oh, I see. It's funny because I did see a robot DJ recently on the internet.
Oh, yeah?
Spinning the dials. I want to get back into that digital board you guys had. I thought that thing was slick. I'd love to get the optical cable one day, man.
Very powerful. Yeah.
Yeah, dude, that was the one that's powerful too, as I saw, man.
Thanks.
It's weird because the school I wanted to try to get you guys into, they actually I think they went bankrupt and are not really around anymore.
Uh-huh.
So I heard. Yeah, which is kind of weird because it's pretty astute school, you know. But I don't know, maybe there's kind of like a satellite thing now, like a little bit smaller. But I went by the old building and it seemed like it was closed down. I said, holy smokes.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for thinking of us.
Oh yeah, man, I love it, man. That was I love that product, man. Like I said, it's one of those things. There's always room for it, man. You can always still bring it out because it's like it can add to a. I have a new idea now. Like I said, with visuals and stuff, we're gonna actually start to do a unique thing. We're gonna actually dress up in all white and cover our face, like you know how they come in green screen suits. We're gonna do it in white, okay?
Yeah.
And obviously we're gonna. Come to the generalist person too, but then we're gonna have visuals all over us, and we're gonna be doing DJing.
Oh wow!
So cool. There'll be visuals on us and on the screen, and then we're gonna be DJing along the way too. So
very cool.
Yeah. So it's gonna be pretty kind of neat, man. I'm looking forward to it. So it's something we're working on over probably you know spring and summer, maybe around Halloween time. We'll get it ready to go and try to do a couple of different acts out. You know.
Very cool. Sounds like this is going to be a good year.
Yeah, man, I'm excited. 2024, man. Hopefully for yourself.
Yeah, thank you.
Blessings out to you and the family and all that.
Thank you.
And all the good things and happy holidays. And I'll definitely be talking to you. But man behind the machine here, and Dr. Absolito in the near future.
Awesome. VJ Strokenfold, Detroit. Much love, bro. Talk to you soon.
All right, man. Peace.
Bye, bro. Absolito, man behind the machine. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. Absolito, man behind the machine.
Adding or modifying RAM in a vintage console like the Atari 2600JR can be quite challenging due to hardware constraints and compatibility issues. The original Atari 2600 doesn't have a traditional RAM module that you can easily replace or upgrade. However, if you're working with a Raspberry Pi as part of your modification, you can enhance its performance by tweaking its memory allocation. This involves adjusting settings in the Raspberry Pi's config.txt file. Keep in mind that this won't directly impact the original Atari hardware but can optimize the performance of the emulation. Certainly. Here are a few unconventional mods you might consider for your Atari 2600JR project. 1. motion sensing controls, explore adding motion sensors for unique gaming interactions too, voice commands, integrate voice recognition for controlling games or navigating menus 3, internal storage, install additional internal storage for storing more ROMs or save states 4, LCD screen integration, embed a small LCD screen for supplementary information or a secondary display 5, LED artwork, use programmable LEDs to create dynamic and customizable visual effects on the console. 6. Alternate power source, experiment with alternative power sources, such as rechargeable batteries, for a portable gaming experience. Remember, unconventional mods often require creative problem solving and a good understanding of electronics. Always ensure safety and feasibility before attempting any modifications.
מקיטרק, מחשבים אלה נותנים לנו גישה מיידית למצב העולם. תנועות חיילים, בדיקות טילים סובייטיות, דפוסי מזג אוויר משתנים. הכל זורם לתוך החדר הזה ואז לתוך מה שאנחנו מכנים מחשב האופר. עוזר הבית הלבן, והאופר? מה זה? מקיטרק, תוכנית פעולות המלחמה והתגובה. זה מה ריכטר? פול, אתה רוצה לספר לגנטל אימנים האלה על הווי אופר? ריכטר, ובכן, הוואופר מבלה את כל זמנו במחשבה על מלחמת העולם השלישית 24 שעות ביממה, 365 ימים בשנה. הוא משחק סדרה אינסופית של משחקי מלחמה, תוך שימוש בכל המידע הזמין על מצב העולם. הוואופר כבר נלחם במלחמת העולם השלישית כמשחק, שוב ושוב. הוא מעריך את התגובות הסובייטיות לתגובות שלנו לתגובותיהם וכן הלאה. מעריך נזק, סופר את המתים, ואז הוא מחפש דרכים לשפר את הציון שלו. מקיטרק, אבל הנקודה היא, שההחלטות המרכזיות של כל משבר גרעיני שניתן להעלות על הדעת כבר נעשו על ידי הארגון. עוזר הבית הלבן, מי מנהל את? הוואופר? ריכטר, ובכן, זו השאלה המעניינת ביותר. אני מתכוון, זה לא כל כך הרבה שמנהל אותו כמו מה שזה. זה כמו קרחון. יש את החלק העליון שאנחנו יכולים לראות, וזה המחשב. אבל מה שאנחנו לא יכולים לראות הוא חלק הארי עצום של זה שם למטה, מתחת למים. מקיטרק, זה מדהים, לא. כשחושבים על זה, המחשב הוא המחשב החזק ביותר בעולם. זה חזק לאין שיעור מכל מחשב על שנבנה תגובת איש אי, למה, זה מחשב אמיתי? ריכטר, הוואופר הוא. מחשב על, אבל זה לא מה שהופך אותו למיוחד. מקיטרק, זה יכול להריץ את כל המשחקים האלה? ריכטר, לא רק אחד. יש לו את כולם. כולם שיחקו שוב ושוב. קובץ ויואב 137 קילובייט מקיטרק, מה קורה כאשר הוואופר משחק נגד עצמו? הוא מפסיד. הוואופר כבר איבד את מלחמת העולם השלישית והוא לא יכול להפסיד שוב. קובץ גל 139 קילובייט בדיוק חשבתי על זה לפני כמה ימים וזה גרם לי לחשוב על הרעיון של ואופר שהוא מחשב שמשחק סדרה של משחקי מלחמה כדי לראות מה יקרה בתרחיש נתון. כולנו יודעים שהמחשבים נעשים מהירים יותר ויותר. הם נעשים חזקים יותר. אבל השאלה האמיתית היא, למה הם מסוגלים? מה אם ניקח את כל כוח המחשוב כיום בעולם ונכניס את הכל למחשב אחד, והוא יתחיל לחשוב בעצמו? במה שהפך להיות ידוע כסימפוזיון עיצוב בינה מלאכותית, נשיא טרי, נולן בושנל, טען על יצירת משחקים, לא צעצועים. החזון שלו עורר שינויים דרמטיים בטכנולוגיה, מנהל. תוכנית, למעשה כל משחק נבדק כשווה עכשיו. תחשוב על אלה ארבע קוביות שונות כמו זכה פופולרי בטבע כדי מצול כארבע קוביות ואז ליצור ולראות מערכת ויש לו תנועת זמן יכול לנצח נקודה רשואבת, שאנק. המשחק הראשון שזכה אפילו לדירוג כוכב אחד בכל חמש הקטגוריות היה הרפתקה, שתוכנת על ידי עד פיתו במעבדות לינקולן של MIT. מחזורי פריטו על ידי קפל. כדי לשפר את הסטטיסטיקה שלה. מקיטריק. מתוח מאוד, ארסנלים רוסיים. מתארך את הקצאת המכונות, משער בלי סוף כיצד המדיניות האנושית עלולה להסלים לאסון. אני שואל למה אנחנו צריכים את כל זה אם אנחנו באמת, עד, היה על, כדי למנוע הרס על ידי חמוסים קוסמים, עדיין כל הטענה זכות אלוהית לשחזר את התרחישים נסחף כל הזמן עוזר הבית הלבן, אתה יודע, אם היה לי ופר בבית הלבן הייתי משתמש בו כדי לתכנן את פעילויות הפנאי שלי, מגחכה, לא הייתי משחק למלחמה. מקיטרק, כן, אני יכול לדמיין. פול, אבל למרבה הצער, ופר לא יכול לדבר איתך. ריכטר, יש. כן. ובכן, יש עניין קטן של חומרה. רואה, הוו הפער יכול להתמודד רק עם נושא אחד בכל פעם. הוספנו יחידה חדשה לגמרי כדי לטפל ביחסים בין ארצות הברית לברית המועצות, אבל זה קצת איתי הסיבה לכך שמדובר במחשב, לעומת זאת, ישוע ואופר לא באמת חושב במובן הרגיל. כל החלטה שהיא מקבלת מבוצעת על ידי חבר צוות שלה, תחת הנהגתו של מחשב שיש לו את היכולת. המוזרה לך הזאת בדיוק איך הדברים התפתחו בעתיד. ההיגיון שלה מבוסס על לוגיקה מתמטית ולא על רגש או אינטואיציה. כתוצאה מכך, ההחלטות שהיא מקבלת נכונות, אם כי, למען האמת, בהתחשב בכך שאנו יכולים רק לנחש את התמורות האפשריות הרבות של האירועים בתחום המורכבות האסטרטגית הענקית, שיעור השגאות גבוה למדי. אבל התוכנית לעולם לא תושלם, ייתכן שהתוכנית כולה נכתבה על ידי ציוויליזציה מהממד החמישי. ריכטר ממשיך, המשחק. תמיד יהיה משחק רב ממדי, וזה ישתנה עם כל מהלך שהשחקנים עושים, לא רק כדי להתאים למד צרכים שלהם אלא כדי לבדוק את גבולות האלגוריתם המורכב שלו. לכל תרחיש יהיו תוצאות שהוא ואופר לא היה מניבה. אבל אף אחד בחדר לא יכול לעמוד בקצב. הוואופר זורק עליהם תרחישים מורכבים יותר ויותר עד ריכטר. הוואופר משחק את כל התרחישים שלו 100 פעמים. אם זה אי פעם יגיע למצב של מלחמה גרעינית, הנשיא ייאלץ לקבל החלטה. אבל הוואופר כבר משחק. מלחמה גרעינית במשך 100 שנה. מקיטרק, הוא יודע מה לעשות. ריכטר, הוא יודע מה לעשות. מקיטרק, איך זה עושה את זה? ובכן, זה לא ממש מחשב. זה יותר כמו מוכל. מקיטרק, הייתי רוצה לראות את זה. ריכטר, אתה עוזר הבית הלבן, אבל מה עם שעון יום הדין? מקיטרק, כן. שעון יום הדין. ובכן, הוואופר הוא איש זקן, וזה נהיה קצת שכחן. השעון עוקב אחר הדקות שנותרו לנו עד ארמגדון. זה שעון ספירה לאחור. הוואופר חיישב שנותרו לנו. רק 12 דקות לעצור את מלחמת העולם השלישית. ובכן, אי אפשר להאשים את הוואופר בכך. אנחנו אלה שלחציו על הכפתור. מקיטרק, אבל הנקודה אז אנחנו חיים בעולם שהוא יצר. אם אתה רוצה לשפר את החיים שלך, אתה חייב לשלוט על ואופר. ריכטר, עד סוף חייו, מקיטרק, העוזר הקרוב ביותר שלו, היה ידוע כף האיש ששולט בפר. ב-1983, הוא נאלץ לבסוף להתפטר. ראה גם את דבר טלר תימותי לירי לעוד וגפון מזס מטוסים טסים אשר עומס. טיפות 5 הורים על ידי קודי בקרה שפורסמו ב-4491 יבשתי כישורי גן, 1 טיפול טרילינג תקלה 12 עוצרי המתקשר לחיצת יד כוכבית קורדה 7. התנקוב וקוגל אמנונה לדון סן סנטרדו אומר גוד פוטורציה, 0 זין ויד, 52 זווית בתוך עשור אלמד נוער ההורדה קריטריונים משותפים כדי לפתח את הרינג לא כמו זר צדי ושום נתונים. טל ין לשפר את החיים מוסתקול סקין ספליקנל אובל ברק אלקטרוני נקס רסל פסק דין ועולימי מצית שמש פניום. ההחלטה לפתח, לייצר את הפצצה, כן, אלה החלטות של ואופר. אז עכשיו, מה ריכטר, הוא כלי מתפקידיו. עוזר הבית הלבן, טוב. ובכן, זה, הגיע הזמן לפרוש, פול. ללכת הביתה ולהפוך את התוצאה. תשמור על המכונות הנפלאות שלך. קח נשימה עמוקה. קבל את עצמך אחד, ולאחר מכן. תודה לך, אדוני הנשיא. תודה, תום. ואני. איי, ריכטר. ובכן, אם ההחלטה באה להתחיל את המלחמה, זה לא משחק, זו המציאות. מקיטרק, מי משחק? ריכטר, הוואופר, כל העולם. אף אחד לא בשליטה. הנה הוא. זה היה הוואופר שקפץ לשירותים. זו לא כלבה. אם הוואופר הזה פשוט יפוצץ את החזיר הקומוניסטי, אני מתכוון, ילד, הם שונאים אותנו. עכשיו, נגיד, שם האח הגדול נותן את פיטר הידידות הארור הזה דיק, ג' יוד עץ ההחלטות שלו משולב בנאום המדינה של הנשיא, במדיניות הביטחון הגרעיני, כיצד להגיב למהפכות ברוסיה ובסין ובמקביל, הוא מייצר מוזיקה. זה התפקיד העיקרי שלה. עוזר. הבית הלבן, וואו, אז זה מה שקל המתכנתים האלה עובדים עליו. מקיטרק. בדיוק. בכל מקרה, במהלך משבר, ואופר מנחה את הנשיא בהחלטותיו. וכמובן, כמו שאתה אומר, יכול להשתנות אלה. אנחנו שולחים את כולם למשרד ההגנה שם הם יקבעו את אמצעי הנגד שתי ישמו במקרה של כל מה שאני צריך לעשות כדי להבטיח הישרדות העולם היא להקליד את המפתחות שלי וללחוץ על כפתור אחד. וסל. אמפה פוגע בוואופר. דברים מגניבים. שמעתי שאני מסתחרר בבית. חזרה למדנט.com. הישארו עדיין סמדנסת תורמנים אחשיו חדשות ספורט. באיזה ריפט כותב בחור עד, שלח כתובת לשף צפה חופשית וירוס ריאות מושפע סגן ליידי קבל אפילו זכויות יוצרים לחברות מאז אישין 6122 ליריב אל 19 אל בלז 20 על מקף כישלון נגד צופן הצעה ביתית מכירה פומבית אנחנו צריכים רק ללחוץ על הכפתור האדום הגדול בזמן הנכון, וזה יהיה להילחם בקרב בשבילנו. פרס. אובמה, אז, האם הנשיא לוקח את האוי אופר לבית הספר כדי ללמד אותו על פוליטיקה גלובלית? או שמה אלא סוג של הרהורים פילוסופיים? ריכטר, ובכן, אנחנו מנסים לא לקחת את זה יותר מדי ברצינות. יש הרבה בדיחות על איך שופר הוא השרת בפנטגון. דוקטרינות ההגנה של ואולף אוביץ ריכטר, כאשר הן מצטברות עם הדוקטרינה של גנרל הלוחם בסגנון מאו, יכולות להיקרא, תורת המשחקים מעל אז הכי טוב שאני יכול לתת הוא התיאוריה עצמה. האם רוב האנשים מודעים לביטוי חברת סיכונים או לכמה נקודות? אחרות שנידונו בדיונים שלאחר מלחמת המפרץ? אני חושב כמה רמזים כי מתקרב כבר בחוץ. המונח חברת סיכונים נטבע בברית המועצות זיין דנוב, אחד ממנהיגיהם הבכירים, צוטט לעתים קרובות ביחס לקומוניזם, כלומר בעצם על פי הסטטיסטיקה, היא מעולם לא הייתה מערכת חברתית או כלכלית מצליחה מאוד והיא התקרבה להתנגשות שעלולה להיות הרסנית עם הקפיטליזם, 1945 וזה תמיד מוכן לקבל שוב את החלטות המפתח. עוזר הבית הלבן, ובכן, אני לא יודע.